Good morning to you. I hope it's a great morning. You know, sometimes we say stuff just because we normally say stuff. We don't always want a response back. But I thank you for the response back, because that's actually what's polite, isn't it? And it's kind of funny because we're going to be talking about being thankful and expressing thankfulness. And I'm going to work on a new skill today. And no, it's not a shorter sermon. I'm kidding. You know, I'm going to try and sit today. If you know me, I wander. I'm a wanderer. I like to move around lots. So we're going to try something a little bit different. You know what? Even if we went home today, our hearts can be full because of what God has done through Preston and revealing his life to us and challenging us and encouraging us of what he calls us to. God does have lots and more for us. If I have not met you yet, my name is Todd Chapman. I'm chairman of the elders here at Emmanuel. I have that opportunity and that wonderful privilege as we get to celebrate what God is doing and continues to do. And I don't know about you, but every day that I come on a Sunday, that I get to be here during the week, that I get to share in your lives and hear your stories, God's doing amazing things. And it's just getting better. I look forward to what the next day holds. I look forward to the next week. I look forward to this year and all that God does. I look forward to our fair that's coming up. It's going to be great. For those of you who don't know what I do during the week, every other day, which is most of us come and go here, and maybe we don't let other people know what we do actually during the week, is I work for our Fellowship Pacific. And we are one church of just under 100 called the Fellowship Pacific in the West Coast here in BC and Yukon. And I work there as long as Lara McAllister does too, and Doug Fordham does here at the church. We all work in different areas. And I work for a team called Life Cycles Team. And essentially, Life Cycles Team is church health. So anything to do with the health and the life cycle of the church, I help out with, as well as David Harita. If you know, David spoke here before, and another fellow named Bruce Christensen, and Lara. And so in that realm, I also work with the church planting. So that's some of my responsibilities. So that's what I do during the week. When I am not here. But we are here today, and it's not about me, it's about God. And as we enter into his presence, as we continue to celebrate him, we need to pray. So let's pray. Father, what a great day. What a glorious day. It's great because it's about you. It's you're here. You're leading us. You have so much for us. And it doesn't just happen on a Sunday. It happens through our entire lives, every moment of every day. You're there. You're here. Lord, we need you to make yourself so real to us. Lord, you know where hearts are at here. I don't. You do. You know hearts here that are just overjoyed, and there's so many wonderful things going on that we just can't get enough, and we just can't say thank you enough to you and to just life in general. And yet there are many here whose lives are being challenged in many ways now too, and maybe hurt, maybe it's sickness, maybe just maybe a need for a job. It could be anything, Lord. And you know those hearts here. Father, maybe there's hearts here and we're struggling. We're bitter, actually. Maybe we're mad. You know those hearts. You know our hearts. And because you know our hearts and you live for that wonderful four-letter word, you give us that four-letter word called hope, we need that. And so please take our hearts from where we're at to where we need to be. Lord, we want to thank you for Preston and his example to be up front and for his example to follow you and love you. I just pray that you'd bless him for it. You have, you will. Thank you for those that have come into his life that he shared even, that share you and live that hope to him. And Lord, thank you for those who come into our lives who live that hope for us. And thank you for the lives that we get to go into to live this hope, your hope to them. Father, we know of the tragic accident this past week. There's probably many, but of the shooting. And Lord, we want to lift up that gentleman's family, young 18-year-old kid. We want to lift up his family to you, his friends to you, his enemies to you. They need hope. Lord, the reason these things happen is because there isn't hope, or hope is found in something else, and it's useless hope. Father, we need you to be Lord in those areas. And we need you to bring us to those areas. Lead us to lead others. And encourage us to be able to lead others. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Whew. All right. You see the title in front of you? We're doing one Psalm. I'm going to get up now. Psalm 103. I'll go back down. Psalm 103. And as we've been going through the book of Psalms and a few different Psalms, and we get to, I think, do Psalm 16 next week and beyond. Psalms are beautiful because they're one of the pictures in the Bible we get of the heart of at least one or two people, David and others who wrote them. And it's their very heart. It's what matters. It's their diary. That's what's cool about the Psalms. God actually gave us a diary. And he does that throughout the Bible, but the Psalms really do it. And so we're going to open up somebody's heart today. And it actually says the Psalm of David, so it could be his heart and his stuff that he was going through. And Lord's going to open it up and say, okay, this is how I work. This is what I am. This is who I am. I want to encourage you. I want to live life with you, and this is what I do. So we get to do Psalm 103. And before we read that, I want to ask you this question. If you were a thank you card, what would you say? You know, we go around and we impact people's lives whether we realize it or not, okay? Whether we do something or don't do something, we always impact people's lives. So this morning, we're going to look about a thank you. We're going to be living thanks. That's actually who we are as Christians. We are living people who give thanks. We're living thanks. I don't know if you can read this or not, but I was looking up on the internet saying, you know, what are some thank you cards out there that maybe should be rewritten? I don't know if any of these belong to you. I apologize now. This one says this: thank you, Miss Ledford, for coming with us on our field trip with us. Next time, bring pie. Joking, you're great. You're great. These are cute, right? Can you read that one? Thank you for the amazing squirt gun I will shoot you with. How about this one? Dear God, thank you for the baby brother. We had a few of these here. And sister, but what I prayed for was a puppy. You know what? This one's a lot closer to the truth, I think, when we say thank you about stuff. How about this one? Thank you for the graduation gift. Also, thank you for dating my dad. We really didn't think anyone would. Like, seriously, I can't express my gratitude enough. Oh. Now you're laughing because you know how serious and how true that might be. Wow. Then there's this one. This one I don't think you can read up there. I'll read it for you here. And it says, if I can find it, and it says this: Dear Mr. Raymond, thank you for coming to our school and teaching us about weather. Someday when I become supreme ultra lord of the universe, I will not make you a slave. You will live in my 200-story castle where unicorn servants will feed you donuts off their horns. I will personally make you a throne that is half platinum and half solid gold and jewel encrusted. Thank you again for teaching us about meteorology. You're more awesome than a monkey wearing a tuxedo made out of bacon. Riding on a cyborg unicorn with a lightsaber for the horn of the tip of the space shuttle closing in on Mars while engulfed in flames. In case you didn't know, that's pretty darn sweet. Sincerely, Flint. Wow. You know, how are you at writing thank you cards or thank you notes? What do you say? What would you say? You are a thank you card. Psalm 103 is all about us giving praise to God. And he says, that's what we live for. So how is your thank you card? Let's read this together. What are we known for? Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. By the way, if you have your Bibles, you can open it. Probably forget to say that to you, but feel free to open it, your tablets, whatever you may. I'll put it on the screen here. This is the Living version for you. There are many versions, but I'm reading from the Living this morning. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. There's a theme going on here. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed, is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is like the father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and we die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. And he ends it like this. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom, let all that I am praise the Lord. Whew. So there's our theme. Theme for this morning, theme for this week. Actually, it's probably a theme for life. And it's praise the Lord. Now, if you read Scripture, you will notice, and you've probably heard me say it before, there's always a challenge in a passage of Scripture. So when God's Word comes out and he says, I got something for you. I'm going to challenge you because it's going to be different than the way you operate, different than your norm, different than what your sin in your heart has led you to believe. It'll be a truth. But every time he challenges us, he also encourages us, okay? So we're going to go through challenges. So this is the challenge that I see in this passage, and maybe you do too. And it's simply this, let all that I am praise the Lord. Now, how is this a challenge? Think about this for a second. And he says it three times, right? Whoops, let's go forward. He says it three times. He says, let. Now, let means you have a choice. Let means you actually have to choose here. That means it's my choice, it's your choice. Nobody chooses this for me. Every day, we have a choice. Every situation, we have a choice. I choose, what does it say here? To praise the Lord. Have you chosen to praise the Lord yet this morning? But he says more than that. He says, let all that I am. All. Well, that kind of leaves out nothing, right? It does. I don't know about you, but when I have that chocolate cake, I want all the chocolate cake. I don't want to leave anything behind. So what's he saying here? Let all that I am. So what are we? Who are we? Everything. Verse 1 actually continues on. I don't have it here, but it says, my whole heart, or my inmost being, some of your versions would say. Everything. My secret places, from my head to my toe. It's my thoughts. It's everything. So what does this look like? What is it that's supposed to praise the Lord? What do I have? It all praises the Lord. What do I do? It all praises the Lord. What do you do at your job? It's to praise the Lord. What do you do in your hobbies? It's to praise the Lord. What do you do for your fun? Getting the theme here? It's to praise the Lord. What do I do in my dancing? And no, I won't stand up and dance this time like I did before. You'll just have to have a good memory. It's to praise the Lord. When I play baseball or sports, it's to praise the Lord. My music praises the Lord. My thoughts praise the Lord. My clothes praise the Lord. Everything praises the Lord. You see how this is starting to hit a challenge? What area of our lives does not praise the Lord? But he goes a little deeper. He says the last sentence, the last part of this. Let I choose all that I am and ever will be and ever have been. Praise the Lord. What does it mean to praise the Lord? Praise means to celebrate. Praise means to share. Praise means to reveal. I love 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, in everything I do, I give glory to God. Same thing. It means I make him known and not me known. That's what it means here. We are known or to be known as Lord praisers. We're to be living thanks to God. Do you walk around and when people look at you and hear you and listen to you and see you, do they see God? That's the challenge. We're to be known as Lord praisers. You know, part of this praise means also to kneel. It actually means to give respect to God. We are walking billboards. We are living Instagrams. We are living Insta stories. Is that the word? Am I close? I could be way off. I'm getting a head nod, at least from my young crew here. This is good. We're living in stories, Insta stories. We're breathing Snapchats of what Jesus Christ does in life. I believe that many Christians today are discombobulated. They're confused about their responsibilities as followers of Christ. And this challenge here reminds us of that, doesn't it? You know why? Because if we're praising the Lord, what we're saying is Christ is number one and we're number two. Or maybe Christ is number one, our families are number two, and so forth. That's what he says here. It's not about me, it's about he. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. That's the challenge here. Let's see this in life terms. I want you to fill your career or your passions or whatever it is in there. I am not a what? I'm not a student. I'm not a police officer. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a pastor. I am a Lord praiser who is a pastor. I am not a student. I am a Lord praiser who is a student. You see what's going on here? It's a little bit different. I'm not a teacher. I'm a Lord praiser who's a teacher. I'm not a dad. I'm a Lord praiser who is a dad. I'm not a mom. I am a Lord praiser who is a mom. Do you see what this means? It means that everything I do or have or am is to reveal God first. I have a job to reveal God. I don't have a job to make money as number one. Do you understand this? So you can do anything. Now, God gives you gifts and abilities and desires and love for things. That's great. But the reason you have a job is to reveal and to praise the Lord. It's not to get money from, first of all. The reason you're a father is to praise the Lord. It's not to have somebody love you back. Or a mother, it's not to have somebody to love you back. If you do it right, that'll happen. It's to love and praise God, first of all. You can see that through here. You know, again, we have beautiful kids born this week. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. One of the best things we can do is help parents understand. Love God, they'll be able to love their kids. We have hobbies and fun things to show others that God is number one in our lives, not to show off our skills, not to receive accolades, not to get exercise, not to receive. Now, some of you might like that one. No, exercise is good, and it's a benefit. It's not even to receive a sense of joy that we get from our hobbies and our fun things. It's to what? It's to praise the Lord. Now, when we praise the Lord, those other things come. The problem is, I think, is we've made them number one. So what's our challenge? Let all that I am praise the Lord. That's our identity. That's our challenge. So I don't know about you, but I'm like, how in the world do we do this? This is hard. Okay. The beauty is, again, in every passage of Scripture, there's a challenge and there's an encouragement. And here it is. How do we do this? Never forget the good things He does for me. Never forget the great things He does for me. What hope? This is our hope. What enables us to reach such a high standard that God calls us to? What enables us to change our life? To do things we've never done before? Never forget the good things God does for me. It says actually here to choose to remember. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to choose to remember the things that God does for this. Now, as we read this, you're going to realize that these are given. Okay, and God's going to say a number of things that He does for you, and He's already doing them. Okay, they're already waiting. In fact, He's waiting for us. That's the beauty of what we're just going to read through in a moment. And He guarantees them, and the results are waiting. In other words, today's need are tomorrow's provisions. Today's challenges are tomorrow's victories. Today's heartache is tomorrow's empathy for someone. Cool thing as we look at this list in a moment, because it's the next 19 verses, is there's a number of things just for us. It actually is very personal. It says you or I. And then he goes into corporate. It says us, and he uses the example of Israel and the nation of Israel. And so it's both us as individuals and us corporately. We got to have both together, okay? We got to praise God both together. Now, verse 3 down to 21 tells us these good things. And just so you know, they're not hyperboles. These are truths. These are truths to trust God more. Unfortunately, we won't have time to do all the detail. We're going to just skim through them all. Hopefully, we'll get and scratch the itch that you have this morning. I leave that up to God as we go through this in like 15 minutes. So bear with me. Strap on your seatbelts, grab a hold onto your weenuses. Do you know what your weenus is? Your weenus is your little piece on your elbow here. So grab a hold on to that because we're going to go for a ride. Are you ready? Here we go. Yeah, you can say weenus. I didn't know what weenus was before until I got Todd. So weenuses are good. God gave you weenuses. Here we go. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done. Number one, he forgives all my sins. Think about that for a minute. I'm not sure what your version says. And he heals all my diseases. I love the way, if I can find it here, I love the way the message says some of these words to help us understand. He forgives all my sins. He forgives all. You catch that? He forgives all. You know what? Just think about that for a minute. Think of all the things that you've done that you know you shouldn't have done. Think of all the things that you've done that you intentionally did that you shouldn't have done. We have a God who we can go to and we can say, you know what, I'm sorry, and they're gone. It says he forgives all. The word all is used several times here. But you know, he doesn't just forgive all the stuff that we do intentionally. Sin is also about the things we do unintentionally. We don't do good enough. You ever try to love somebody enough and it's just not, you just can't do it enough? And they let you know that you don't do it enough, and yet you're, that's all I know, and I'm trying. God says, I forgive those sins too. God forgives the sins that we don't even know we're doing. Think about that for a minute. He forgives sins, all. It says this, he heals all my diseases. Now, this could be physical, this could be mental, it could be, he heals, he takes care of, he scoops it out like a doctor and removes it. He heals, he works you through it. So you understand the pain of going through it sometimes, and then the beauty of having that pain removed. He heals, folks. If you're looking for healing this morning, maybe you're coming here hurt, maybe you're bitter, maybe you're finding challenge, maybe it's a physical thing. It says here that he heals all our diseases. Again, all. There's not one that goes away from him. All our diseases. Continue on. He redeems from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. He redeems. Redeem is this idea of buying back. Of buying back actually something that he used to have. He purchases. He brings back. Have you ever had something sold and it belonged to you, but somebody else sold it on you? And you needed to go back and get it? Don't answer this question, because it's probably the person beside you that sold it on you or wanted to sell it on you. You know, it's that idea of having it sold, but and it's deeper than this. But of bringing it, that person or that thing or that joy back to a place where it was meant to be, where it should be. And this is what Christ has done on the cross. This is why we celebrate a baptism. This is what we say, yes, thank you for doing this for me. And he talks about, says, from death. Death actually means death. The word here actually partly means hell. Folks, we have a God who has rescued us through Jesus Christ from a place called hell, a death where it's absolutely useless. And the Bible tells us that hell is a place where God is not. And if you want just a practical glimpse of what hell is like on earth, just look around and all the wonderful things that you love about this earth and all the joys you feel and all the good tastes that you have when you eat some good food and have some good smells, get rid of that. And that's hell. Because all those good things come from God. So where God is not, none of those things exist. That's hell. And God says here, I have come along and I have redeemed you. I have brought you back. I have given you the opportunity to not go to a place where I am not. And this place is called hell. I don't know about you, but that's one of the greatest things ever. But look around our community. How many people are going to experience that death? How can we go around to our community and say, this is so great. I'm a living thank you to you, Jesus. But I look around and I am not impacted by the people around me that don't have what I got. You know, if your heart is hard like mine on that many levels, I got to pray. Pray. God, impact my heart. Remind me of this. Remind me that you heal all diseases. Remind me that you've brought me back from death. Remind me that my neighbor needs it too. We're a living thank you. Keep on going. crowns me with love and tender mercies. This is great. Crown is the idea of actually having something surround. And it says here, you are surrounded with love and mercy. Tender mercy. It's like a hug. Hugs are great, aren't they? I guess maybe it depends who's hugging you. But this is God. You know, if you like the person beside you, hug them right now. I mean, it's not saying that if you don't hug them, it doesn't mean you don't like them. I'm not saying that at all. Whew. My wife's working at the hospital, so I don't have to get into that one. But God is saying here that I crown you, I give you things. In fact, he says, I want to satisfy you. I love you so much, I want to satisfy you. You know, how many of you have had your coffee today? How many of you had not had your coffee today but wished you had your coffee today? How many of you like Starbucks? How many of you like Starbucks? Okay, David. Let's see what I did with it. Yeah, I'm not going to pull a cup of coffee out of my... There's a gift card for $5 for Starbucks. Because it's interesting, what God says, he uses the word satisfy, actually. He says, I'm going to satisfy you. And I don't know about you, but when you had that first cup of coffee this morning, didn't you get that, it's a satisfying feeling. You did. David's going to have that. But I guess if you got up and left now, you could probably have it. But he's going to have to wait. And sometimes, I think that's what we struggle with, right? We struggle with the waiting part. And God says, sometimes you're going to have to wait, but I'm going to satisfy you because he knows what that cup of coffee tastes like. Now, anybody have breakfast? Now you're curious, right? Anybody not have breakfast this morning? Anybody want breakfast this morning? Wow, really? You know what? See, you have no idea what I'm about. I might have a rice cake over here or something. You guys are always entertaining. All right. Sorry, I think we had lots of no breakfasts. So now the hard part, the great thing is whoever gets this is going to enjoy it, but the hard thing is that everybody knows that you're going to have something, so they may come after you. Are you allergic to chocolate?
No. Right.
Now, it's a muffin. Now, my apologies is I was hungry this morning, so I ate some of it. I wanted as much satisfaction as everybody else. We're going way off topic here, but God says here, he says, you know what? I crown you with love and tender mercies. I'm going to take care of you. I will always take care of you. I got your back. I'm going to satisfy you. That's what he says here. He's going to fill our life with good things. He doesn't just give us things. He gives us good things. He gives us good people. He gives us great people. He gives us good friends. He provides for us. Think about it for a minute. What has God given you? I mean, we're moving away a little bit from the spiritual. He takes care of our heart. He takes care of our burdens. He takes care of our eternal issues. And now he says, I'll actually take care of you every moment of every day of your life. What are you struggling with, folks? He says, I got you. We better keep moving. Yeah, I got you so much that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 6 says this, the Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. Love this. He takes care of what is right. All those who are hard done by, how many of us here have been hard done by at one time in our life? We all have. You can put your hand up. I'm okay with that. We all have, or we all will be. God says, I take care of the hard done by. I take care of the underdog. I take care when you think nobody else cares. I got your back. I will always treat you fairly. It may not always be in this life, but I will always take care of you. Love that. Don't you love when God sends people to take care of us? I think I was probably 17, 18, I was in grade 11, and I had the privilege of taking my dad's car down to a hockey game, and the weather was horrible. I took a friend down, we were watching the Canucks play the Montreal Canadiens, and it was Christmas break, and I had the privilege of driving, Dad, you'll have to remind me of the year maybe if you want, for the station wagon. I drove a wood grain station wagon. It's like ideal for a youth to drive. It's like the car. It's a chick car. It's good. Better be careful how I say that. It's got lots of room. anyways, I drive this car down. It actually had a lot of power, and that made it a great car. Came back. It was a horrible snowstorm. And actually, they closed a lot of the roads. And so I lived in Chilliwack, so we couldn't get from Abbotsford to Chilliwack. So we actually had to stop in Abbotsford. Stayed overnight, power off, all those things. Horrible day. Started the car the next morning. It took a while to get going. Thought I'd warmed it up. I made it to number 3 road. They'd opened up the highway. I made it to number 3 road, and the car died. I just got off the highway, right where the yellow barn was there. And there was a phone booth there. This was, yes, date us, this will date me. There was no cell phones. There was nothing. I actually had to go. It was like minus 40 or minus 30, I think, in the morning. It was brutal. Everything was frozen. And I at least there was a pay phone. I went and phoned, and I said, Dad, I need you to come and get us. And I don't know if you remember this call, Dad, but I blew the engine on the car. I blew the engine on my dad's car. Not once did my dad ever say anything about destroying his car. Never. I get that when I see this. God fills us with good things. God does right to us. God pays the way for us sometimes. My dad had to replace the engine on that car. Maybe I wish he would have gotten rid of it. It was his, it was not mine. This is what our God does, folks. Better keep going. He revealed his character to Moses. God makes himself known and his deeds to the people of Israel. He lets us know about himself. He lives to let himself know, let us, pardon me, know about himself. Isn't that great? He takes care of us. He talks to us. This is why we have his word here. He wants us to know that things will be okay. He wants us to know how things work. He wants us to know that we'll make it. He wants us to know how much he loves us. And he continues on and says this: the Lord is compassionate and merciful and slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. If you know your Bible, you know these words are repeated over and over again. In fact, one of the first times these are said is when Moses, we talks about here, and the Israelites were walking through after their Egypt experience. He says he's wonderful. I'm compassionate. You know what compassion is? Everything in a person's heart aches for another person. That's compassion. When you ache, God aches. When you hurt, God hurts. When you're in pain, God sees that pain and he cries. You ever wonder why we're given tears? It's to express those things we have a hard time expressing. But he's merciful. He'll actually show you. He'll bring you along. He'll teach you. He's slow to get angry. I like this one because I cause him a lot of angst. Wow. I don't know about you. Maybe you do too. He says he's slow when it comes to that. He watches you. He also says he's filled with unfailing love. In other words, his love will never fail. You know anybody's love that never fails? It's like having Slurpees every day. That's not. Slurpees may not be a sign of love to you, but whatever a sign of love is, it's endless. Continues on this, he will not constantly accuse us or remain angry forever, which is kind of what we just mentioned a little bit. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal with us harshly with us as we deserve. He's getting back into what actually and who actually we are as sinful beings. Romans 5 says it this way: you are when you were with sin, when you chose, when you were born, when Adam chose on our behalf to disobey God, to say, I don't want you, God. That's what sin is. Sin is essentially, I don't need you, God. How many times do we say that a day? He says here, you were his enemies, the Bible tells us. We were against him. We were ungodly. We couldn't even think his way. We didn't want to think his way. We wanted to see God lose. That's who we were. And God comes along and he says, I'm not going to punish you for all your sins. I'm not going to deal with you the way you deserve. I'm going to send Jesus. Woo-hoo. Should be more than a woo-hoo. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. Verse 12 says this: he has removed our sins far from us as from the east is from the west. Try to think of that one for a minute. What weighs us down? What keeps us from praising God? Isn't it stuff that we've done sometimes? the guilt we feel. God says, I've removed that. I've removed it so far you can't see it. So why do you keep going after it? Why do you keep bringing it into play? Go back to the list of the good things. Remember, I've taken care of you. I will always take care of you. I've sent Jesus. I got this covered. Don't let your heart tell you that anymore. Come listen to me. Maybe when you say, God, like, apply that. Like, help me understand. I don't understand how this always works, but I need to understand. Wow, this list is endless. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. I shared the example of my dad earlier. I could share a lot of examples of my mother and father. I take all my cars over to my dad to be fixed. Some of you do too. I'm not saying do that. This is not an advertisement for my dad. But isn't it great to have someone who's tender and compassionate? I remember my mom sitting beside my bedside when I broke up with my girlfriend for the very first time, and the second time, and the third time. Wow, this is almost like a self-help session here. Isn't it great to have people like that that sit beside? That's what he says here God does. God is waiting. Actually, God is waiting for you to talk to him. Why are you holding back? And he's waiting for you to talk to him again. He's never too busy. And he does this with every human being in all the world over all the time. Isn't that amazing? Because it goes on to this. What does it say? Verse 14. He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and we die. The wind blows and we're gone as though we had never been here. He knows us. You know what's really cool about having a newborn baby? It's that little breathing hole in the top of their head. Have you seen that? If you haven't, and is Allison here, Drew? There was Noah. But Noah's 4 months old. I just met Noah this morning. And maybe next time you're near a newborn baby, be very gentle and careful. But on the top of their head, there's a soft spot, if you've noticed that. Maybe you haven't. It's so cool, and it breathes up and down. It's fascinating. And God knows that. And you know why? He made it. It's so we can be pliable, so babies are pliable. Isn't that unbelievable? Good thing it's gone now. At least I don't have it, but God knows every detail of all our lives. The goofy stuff, the fun stuff, the hard stuff, because he knows what we're about. And yet he still loves us. Wow, we better finish off here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules everything. Isn't this great? Salvation is for everybody. I want to thank you for those of you who are persevering because you're praying for family members, praying for friends, praying for your enemies who don't know the Lord yet. I want to thank those who prayed for us. Because salvation, God says, is for everyone, and he's given it to everyone. The opportunity through Jesus Christ to everyone. And somebody brought it to us, but God gave them that opportunity. Salvation extends to the children's children. It's beyond us. Isn't it great it's not just about us? Isn't it great that somebody brought it along to you? Isn't it great you can share it with your kids? One day your parents will receive it, folks. Pray. One day your friends will receive them, folks. Pray. God is waiting. Our community is waiting to hear. The Lord has made heavens and throne. How do we know that that's possible? Because he rules over everything. With all these things, you need to stop and almost think about it. He rules over everything. He's in charge. Nobody can say no to God. Well, you can say no to God, but it might not work out so well. God is in charge of everything. You need something done, you ask God. And even the hardest thing, you know what the hardest thing in this world is? It's a changed heart. If he can change my heart, he can change anybody's heart. If he can change your heart, he can change anybody's heart. Why? Because he rules over everything. So pray. Ask God about what your hurts. Deal with your hurts. He'll take care of it. Better move on. So praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones, carry out his plan. He's in charge of the angels here. And isn't it cool? He actually has angels taking care of stuff for us. serve him and do his will. All that aside, it says this, praise the Lord, everything is created. So I don't know about you, but I hope your heart's a little bit stirred with what God does. The challenge, here we go again, I find, is this, how does this become our reality? So we have the challenge of, okay, we got to praise God with all that we are. Then we hear this great list of things that God does. So I read that and I'm like, okay, great God, now how's this my reality? Do we face that? I'll leave you with this. Praise God. Verse 1 and 2, it says that when we praise God, he brings himself into the situation. Okay? Not only that, it says when we fear God, verse 11, 13, and 17. We don't have time to look at that. Fear God means to be in awe of God. It means that God is greater than whatever you face. So when you start seeing God as greater than your issue, you're going to see God in real time. Not only that, it says be faithful. In other words, stand up, keep praying. Keep doing it. Keep going along. Keep persevering. Because when you do, you will see God in real time. It says this, obey. You know, sometimes you just do it because God's asked you to do it. You don't know why, but you do it because God's asked you to do it. You obey, and you'll see real time, real God. That's how we see it. Make God known. Be in awe of God. Stick to God. Just do it. It says here to live thanks. I want to end with this. I was in the Starbucks the other day here, and just doing some work. When I'm in Starbucks, sometimes I don't really want to talk to anybody. I just want to be alone. And maybe it's the wrong place to go for that. But I was working away, and for about 45 minutes, and I had another fellow who was in the corner, and he was working away for about 45 minutes, and at least he was there before I was, and he came over to me. And he just started a conversation. I'm like, oh, God, really? You know, like, no. Anyways, I wanted to be this. I wanted to be a living thank you, because God's called us to this. This is the challenge, right? And so he sat down. I actually asked if he could sit down. I said, sure. He asked me who Jesus was. I said, pardon? You ever say that? You don't expect people to ask you about Jesus, even though we're supposed to share Jesus every day? So I said, pardon? And he said, well, I noticed you actually had a, I think it's a Bible. I said, yeah, I did have a Bible on the counter because I was marking some work for school, for a student. And he says, well, you know, can you tell me Jesus in 1 minute or less? So I got an opportunity to tell him who Jesus was in 1 minute or less. And so I turned it on him. I said, you tell me who Jesus is in 1 minute or less. Anyways, we went back and forth. His name was Leon. I've never met Leon before. You know what's cool? This is what makes God God, and every moment does it, and when we step into it and we want to see God real, this is what makes my heart praise him. This is why I want to talk about him and share about him and live him and tell my neighbors that I'm praying for them. And Leon says this. He says, Todd, you know what? I'm a teacher here in town. Actually, not that far up from here. I was just over at Starbucks near High Street. I said, well, that's cool. He says, my wife and I are teachers here. I said, that's great. He goes, and we're looking for ways to bring Christ into our school. In fact, our school is 99% Punjabi. I said, well, that's wonderful. It's west side of town. That's our culture here. That's great. And he says, I'm trying to figure it out. Our principal will actually let us bring spiritual stuff in because our Punjabi kids really want it, and they have it in there too. I said, that's neat. And he continues to tell me this, and he looks at me and says, Todd, I want you to bring it into our school. I went, wait a minute. But then I sat back, and I thought this. You know what our vision is as a church? One of our goals of a church, so our vision is to bring Christ into our community, right? Part of it. One of our goals is to impact, have five community things, projects in the next 5 years. Our children's ministry wants to impact one of the schools. I'm sitting here and I'm like, no. And God's saying, Todd, shut up for a minute. He just invited you to bring your church into a school. And him and his wife are Christians, and they'll help you bring the gospel into a school in your community that needs it. That's our God. So let me ask you this. Are you living thanks? God's waiting this week, folks. I know already in some of your lives, God's already making it happen. God's waiting for us to live thanks, to bring him into our community. We're the vessel. You want to experience the greatness of God? Live thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, you're so good. There's